Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and have fellowship with them. Please be seated. What a great, great day to hear these amazing stories of how God's love changes people. Of how the knowledge that God is for them changes and transforms lives. And we've heard some amazing stories. And today we're continuing our series through an Old Testament book called Joshua. And it's just worked out that we've come to a great passage in Joshua 2 about another great testimony, about another great example of what God does in people's lives. Because what I hope you've heard today from these testimonies and what you will hear from this amazing testimony of a lady called Rahab is that your past does not have to define your future. Your past doesn't define your future. But also your past doesn't have to define your today. Your past doesn't have to define your future, and your past does not have to define your today. And we begin with this lovely story in this book about the people as they entered the promised land. And we reminded ourselves that the Old Testament is stories to help us understand what Jesus has done for us. And we're now in the book of Joshua, where the people of God who had been set free from Egypt had then wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't believe that God could give them what he promised. And then finally in the book of Joshua, they begin to say that we can enter into all that God has promised us. Albert Einstein, that famous mathematician who helped us understand, or not many of us understand, the theory of relativity. He once said, there are two types of people. There is a type of person who believes nothing is a miracle, and there is a type of person who believes everything is a miracle. You live your life believing nothing is a miracle, or you believe your life living everything is a miracle. And as we come into this story of Joshua, we come to actually understand that we serve the God of miracles and we can live our life as everything is a miracle. What does that miracle look like? What does it mean to live believing in a God who is with us, who is performing miracles? And so we're going to look at this lovely story in Joshua chapter 2 about Rahab. And it begins, then Joshua chapter 2 verse 1, then Joshua son of Nun secretly sent two spies and said, go look over the land, especially Jericho. So here we are, the people of God, about to enter into what God had promised them, and Joshua sends out two spies. Now that should remind us, those of us who know these stories, of two spies who'd already been into the promised land. One of which was Joshua, the other was a person called Caleb, and they'd already gone 40 years earlier and said, this is a great land. This is a land flowing with milk and honey. This is a land that just produces abundance and is all that we need. And it is a good land that God has promised us. But back then, 40 years ago, Moses had not sent out two spies, but had sent out 12. But only two came back believing that life was a miracle, believing that God was with them, believing that God's promise of abundance, of life, of blessing could be theirs. And so it's not surprising that Joshua doesn't send out 12, but he sends out 2. Because he knew that God had given it to them. He knew that there was a miracle, that their God was for them and God was with them. And this is where we need to begin. This is where we need to begin to say that actually this God that we worship is a good God. This God that we worship is God, as we will see shortly, Rahab declares this herself, that this God that we worship is the God of heaven and of earth. He is the God, the one true living God, who is in control, who owns, who has the right to give abundance and blessing. This is the God. Do you live as if life is a miracle? Do you live as if this God is for you? Do you believe this is the day that the Lord has made? This is the day that the Lord has given me. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Do you live believing that Jesus, when he said, I have come that they may have life and life in all its fullness. Do you believe that that's what he meant? Do you believe these promises? And perhaps this morning, as I'm was preparing this again this morning, that perhaps the word is for some of you this morning who may not have been 40 years ago, but sometime earlier, you found this Jesus. And you thought following this Jesus would give you goodness and abundance and blessing. And maybe you look back to university, or look back when you were a child, or you look back to some event where you think, yes, the God I heard of then, the God that Jesus revealed, was the God that was going to give life in all of its abundance. And I really believed that. But I seem to have lost my faith. I seem to have been wandering, maybe not for 40 years in a desert, but certainly been wandering. And yet, I haven't lost my belief in God. But that promise of life in all its fullness, that promise of God's blessing, just seems so far away, seems so difficult. The giants just seem too big. The obstacles seem to be too big. Life has happened. My children have happened. My family have happened. My work situation has happened. My finances have happened. Maybe it's time today to go again. The 2 spies. To hear again this promised land. That God who is good, who is the God of heaven and earth, the one who sent Jesus to say he has life in all its fullness, perhaps send the spies again. And have another look and say what God offers is real, is true, and is possible. And yeah, there may be obstacles in the way. It may be filled with nations and giants. It may be filled with things, and the past may have really affected where we're at now. But actually today, perhaps I'm going to look again. And perhaps today I will believe that life is a miracle, because my God is a way maker, a miracle worker. And so he sent off his spies. He sent off the 2 spies to look particularly at Jericho. And these 2 spies, we read that they entered Jericho. And when they went to Jericho, they ended up in the home of somebody called Rahab. Rahab. Now Rahab, we know, was a pagan. She was part of Jericho who worshipped other gods, who sacrificed their children. Yes, you heard me. Sacrificed their children to other gods. They did detestable religious practices. Rahab was one of them. She was also a prostitute. It is, could possibly be, that where these men went was to a brothel. But certainly if it wasn't a brothel, it was probably a tavern or a place where people gathered because they were spies and they wanted to hear the latest gossip and was certainly a good place to go if you wanted to hear what people were thinking and what people were believing. But this, they ended up in Rahab's home. We ended up in Rahab's home. And here we have someone whose past was obviously colourful. Someone whose past was actually defining her today. But her today changed when these two spies came. And we read that this lady with the colourful past had come to believe in the God of miracles. How do I know that? We read in verse 11. She says to the spies, when we heard of what God had done through the Red Sea, 40 years ago, interestingly, she'd heard they'd been expecting this for 40 years. When we heard what happened in the Red Sea and what had happened to the kings of Sihon and Og, our hearts sank and everyone's courage failed because of you. Why? For the Lord your God is God in heaven and on earth below. That was the confession that Moses called the people to call in Deuteronomy chapter 4, that God, to acknowledge that God is the God of the heaven and the God of earth. And here we have Rahab, a pagan, a prostitute, acknowledging and confessing this God. Because ultimately there are two ways to live. Because I don't know whether I'm going to use the two ways material which people have produced to explain the faith. Because there are two ways to live, because actually what we believe, can I have the first slide, David? If it's going to come. Sorry, next slide after that. That was a recap. We won't do the recap of last week. Because what we believe and what Rahab had come to believe is that God is the loving ruler of the world. Is that the God we come to believe, that miracle working God, is the God who made the world. He made the rulers of the world under him. That the God that we are talking about, the God that has been acknowledged and confessed in Jesus Christ through this baptism, is the God who is good, the God who is loving, the God who created this world and everything in it. The God of abundance. The God who provides for all of creation. The God who calls us to live life in all its fullness in relationship with him. Rahab had acknowledged this. How had she come to acknowledge it? She says, we have heard. We have heard, verse 10, how the Lord dried up the Red Sea and rescued you out of Egypt. We have heard what God has done to the other kings on the east of the Jordan. We have heard, because as we saw last week, faith comes from hearing. And hearing from the Word of God. And so as you send out your spies this morning, can I encourage you to read the God of the Bible? To read the Gospels of a God revealed in Jesus Christ who came to give us life and in all its fullness. Reveal the God who came, who healed the sick, who cast out demons, who raised the dead. Read the story of the kingdom of God. A kingdom of justice, a kingdom of love, a kingdom of blessing, a kingdom of justice, a kingdom of righteousness. Because that's our God. And Rahab had come to believe in that God. But the problem was, what Rahab had happened in her life, next slide please, David, is that most of us, our past has been affected because most of us have rejected that God. We've rejected God being our God and our ruler. And we've decided that we know better and that we can run our life. And if we want to know abundance and blessing and peace and prosperity, we know how to do it. We don't need a God to tell us. And we have chosen to turn our back from God, to turn away from Him and try to bring those blessings on our own. But ultimately, when we do that, we fail to rule ourselves or our society or our world. And things have gone horribly wrong. Because we have ignored the loving, faithful, ruling God. And we've gone our own ways. And we've messed up. And we've failed. And that's what the story of entering the promised land is. In a few weeks' time, we're going to look at some of the complex issues of this book about why as Christians do we talk about a God who is a God of war when we say God is a God of love? How do we explain some of these complex issues of genocide that we might see in the Old Testament? We're going to save that all for another day. But just to give you a hint that actually if God is the loving ruler God and we've ignored him and we've turned our back on him and we've started sacrificing our children and we started running after other gods and our sins have escalated to such an extent, then the God of justice has to come in and restore order and to restore his blessing. And we read in Deuteronomy 9:5 about why God was giving Israel the promised land. And we read it, let me just read it to you. This is sort of an introduction to what we're going to look at in a few weeks' time. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 5. We read this. The Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land, not because of my righteousness. No, it's on account of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. It is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you're going to take possession of the land, but on account of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God will drive them out for you. What did that wickedness look like? Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9, it spells it out. When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire. This is what they were doing. Who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, casts spells, or is a medium or spiritist who consult the dead. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. Because God, when we've turned our back on God, when we've rejected him, when we've sacrificed our children, when we've entered a lifestyle that rejects all the blessing and goodness that God has given for us, God could only be just if he acts. God can't be just loving to let things happen? Am I loving to let things happen to my children that are detestable and do nothing about it? Is that loving? And so God looks at our rejection. But the problem is we can look at our failing world and our failing society. We can look at what's gone wrong in our world. But also we have to recognize that something's gone wrong with us. What is the problem with the world? A famous writer, G.K. Chesterton, was asked this question, put in the Times, and he replied, "What is wrong with the world? I am." And this is where Rahab got to. Rahab recognized her need of mercy, recognized her need that God needed to be kind to her. Literally, the word kind in Joshua chapter 2 is the word mercy. That God needed to show her mercy because what was the problem with the world was not just out there, it was in here. And it was pretty obvious in her life Whether she certainly was a prostitute. She could have been a prostitute at a local religion, a local cult. She was certainly living away. We don't know whether she'd actually sacrificed her children or not. The likelihood is she could have done. But she knew she needed mercy. She needed kindness of a loving God. Because I think the next slide shows us that when we make ourselves our God, then actually a loving God has to act. A loving God has to put right. A loving God can't just allow such atrocity. And Rahab here is lovely, right in this story, to show that she'd come to acknowledge that the Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, she needed his mercy. And so what did she do when these spies came? The next part of the story is that the king of Jericho heard that spies had entered the land. And so they came to her house. They heard that she was Rahab. The soldiers came and knocked on her door and said, "We hear you've got spies. Give them to us." And she said, "They're not here." They were here, but they're gone. And before she'd opened the door, she'd taken them upstairs and she'd put them on the roof where the harvest had come in with the crops, and she'd covered them in harvest, the harvest. So they were hidden. And the soldiers came. And she said, "They were here, but they've gone. In fact, if you go quickly now, you might be able to catch them." Because she was beginning to realize, this was the God. This is the true God. This is who I must align myself with. And I need his mercy. I need his kindness. And so she talks to these spies and says, "Show me kindness. May God have mercy on me. I need his help. I need his mercy. I need his kindness. I need his blessing. I need his abundance. Even though I'm a pagan, even though I'm a prostitute, even though my past should define my today, I need mercy."
It's a bit like the Star Wars movie, isn't it? The soldiers didn't even check. What's it with Obi-Wan Kenobi says, "These are not the spies. Go away." It's a bit like here. Why didn't they check? Why didn't they go further? But obviously God's hand was on this. So they ran off. And the spies she spoke to, she said, "Because I have done this for you, may you act kindly to me." Because then what do they do? What the spies say, a life for a life. You've saved our life. Therefore, you've put yourself under the protection of our God. Therefore, what are we going to do for you? "We will not destroy you." How can we know that? They said, "The only way we will not destroy you, if you take a scarlet cord and hang it in your window." If you take a scarlet cord and hang it in your window. Why a scarlet cord? Why was that sign? Obviously it was visible. But actually, we know it wouldn't have had much effect, because actually, how did they overcome Jericho? Forward a few weeks, they marched around the city wall, and the wall where Rahab was, we're told she was part of the wall, that came tumbling down. So I'm not quite sure how a scarlet cord in a window could protect you from your walls tumbling down. But maybe it was partly because they remembered 40 years ago how they got out of Egypt. How did they got out of Egypt? How did Pharaoh let them go? Because what the people of God had to do, they had to sacrifice a lamb and they had to take some blood, some scarlet, and put it on their door frames. Put it on their door frames. And ultimately for us, as I say, and these stories point us to Jesus, and both the blood on the door frames and this scarlet in the window reminds us ultimately of the way that we can have God's kindness upon us. Because we weren't redeemed and set free with corruptible things like silver or gold. We were redeemed by the precious blood, the scarlet blood of Jesus. And therefore, we know that though we might deserve rebellion, we know that God, next slide please, God sent his son, Jesus, to be that scarlet cord in our lives, to die on that cross, to bear the judgment of God, to be in our place, that we might be free, that we may not live under the judgment of God, but we may live under his kindness and his mercy. It is through trusting in what Jesus has done that our past doesn't have to define our tomorrow and doesn't have to define our today. Because Jesus died for us. And for those who claim that Jesus' death is their mercy, is God's blessing upon them, is their protection, there is blessing. And this is what this baptism symbolizes. This baptism is showing that Gary, Steve and Paul, they've come to put their trust, their faith in what Jesus did for them. Though their past, they've made mistakes. We've heard some of that. They've had bad things happen to them. They've made mistakes. They've gone away. They've not believed. But actually they come, recognizing they need mercy from this loving God, creator of heaven and earth. And they've trusted in Jesus. That's what Jesus has done. And so we have a choice. Next slide, I think, please. That this Jesus was raised again and showed that he himself is God. He has conquered death. He has conquered life. And we can live under his blessing. And so we have a choice, like Rahab had a choice. She had a choice to either accept what the spies had said, to believe that what they said was true, and put this scarlet thread in her window. Or not. To trust her and her family to this, or not. Or she could try and act it out herself. She could try and save herself. In fact, the spies said, those to be saved have to be in this house, have to be under the covering of the scarlet cord. Otherwise, if they try and rescue themselves, if they try and go out and fight, if they try and flee away, if they try in their own might, to be saved, they won't be. Only if they trust in this promise of what we've heard. And they had a choice. Rahab had a choice to either reject the ruler of God, to reject, to say, we're going to try and do it ourselves again. We're not going to trust in what God has said. We're going to try and do it ourselves and face the judgment. Or we can trust in what Jesus has done. We can submit to him. We can trust in what he did through his death on the cross. And we can enter into his forgiveness, into his life. That's the choice. And that was the choice of Rahab. And she lowered the spies down through her window out of the city wall. And she lowered them. And they escaped. And then she had a choice. What was she to do? And can I suggest that is the choice of us today? Are we going to trust in what God has said? Are we going to trust ourselves into the hands of the one true loving God who promises life in the fullness, who promises the blessings and his presence and his peace? Are we going to trust that we can enter into that again through what Jesus has done? Are we going to live life as a miracle that because Jesus has given us his life, that we can live a life as a miracle? Yes, there may be obstacles, there may be difficulties, as we'll see in coming weeks, that the people had to go through and overcome to fully enter into the blessing. But they were there through what had been done. And that is the choice. And it's great, and we'll come on to this when Esther talks about the way Jericho was defeated. But there's a lovely verse which says Rahab was saved and still lives in the land to this day. Still lives in this land to this day. The pagan, the prostitute, the one whose past should have defined her, but no longer, because she trusted in the scarlet cord. She trusted in that, and she still lives in the land today. But more than that, oh, so much more than that. And this is why this story is so significant. Because why are we talking about one individual in the life of this nation and this conquering of all of the land? What's this to do with? Because there's so much more going on in this story. Because let's forward fast to the New Testament. Let's forward fast to the genealogy of Jesus, the Savior of the world. And guess who we find there? We find Rahab. We find one of her descendants is in the line of the Messiah, is in the line of the one who would shed his blood for the saving of the world. We find in her line a pagan, not a Jew, not an Israel. We find in her line the Messiah that was to come. It's amazing. And there is another scarlet thread. There's another scarlet thread in the Old Testament. Back in Genesis, someone called Tamar. And I don't even know the story of Tamar, but she was pregnant with twins. And what she had to do was she had to tie a red scarlet cord around one of the twins, the one who put his hands out first. And guess what? She too is in the line of this Messiah, this Jesus. And do you know her story? She was raped by her father-in-law. So we have Rahab, the pagan and the prostitute. We have Tamar, who was raped by her father-in-law. And we have these in the line of the Messiah. Because guess what? Your past does not have to define your tomorrow. And your past does not have to define your today in Jesus. As long as you're wearing a red cord, as long as you're trusting in what Jesus has done for you, you can stand tall as a rightful member of the people of God. You can still live in the land under the blessings of God and live in his life and abundance. Whoever you are, whatever your nationality, whatever you've done, whatever your past is behind you, that was yesterday. Let's forget about yesterday. We saw last week, faith is about moving forward. Don't let your past define you. Live today, trusting in what Jesus has done, and enter into his promises and his abundance and his life. Live as if every day is a miracle. That God is for you today. God has given you a new start today. God is doing something new and different today. And yes, you'll have your challenges. You'll have your obstacles. The walls around you might come tumbling down. The land that you are going to enter may seem to be too possessed by armies and giants. And it seems too difficult. But live today as if today is a miracle, because the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, is with you. He's given you his promises. He's given you your salvation. Live in the light of that, and don't let your past define your today. That is the story of Rahab. That can be your story. That is my story. My past does not define me, because I'm trusting in the blood of Jesus. I'm trusting in him alone. And as I come back to that, I can live in the promised land. And I can see God work in my family. I can see God work in my workplaces and in my community. I can see amazing things happen because this God is with me. We're looking at a series on prayer through Joshua. And this is the beginning of the prayer. This is the prayer of Rahab. This is the prayer where all prayers start. You cannot enter into blessings and God's goodness and fulfill God's promises until you pray the prayer of Rahab. Until you pray the prayer of Rahab in Joshua chapter 2, that I know you are the Lord, the God of heaven and earth. I know that you are the God who rescues your people and sent your son Jesus Christ to die to rescue me. And I ask you for kindness and mercy. I ask that I may live under the blessing of God and with the presence of God. I turn from sin. I renounce evil. And I intend to follow Christ. You say that prayer today. You begin a life of living in the family of God. Living in the kingdom of God. It's not going to be easy. You'll have your giants, you'll have your cities to overcome, you'll have the walls that need to be broken down. But that's the first prayer. Are you going to enter in? Or maybe you've done that prayer, and you did that prayer 20 years ago, 10 years ago. I don't know when you did that prayer, but you haven't lived it. You've been wandering in a desert time, half believing, half trusting, but it's been thirsty. It's not been satisfying. The doubts and the questions, they've all been there. Today, send the spies, see the promises. And how can you enter into that promises the same way you begin? By trusting in Jesus, believing in God, accepting Jesus Christ and his death as the way that you enter into God's blessing. And follow him. That's the call. That's the prayer. And before we enter into further prayer, before we enter to see how can we see God's blessing in my family, in my workplaces, how can I see answers to prayer in these other areas, you'll never see any answers until you begin like Rahab and begin with the prayer of Rahab. And acknowledge God is good. He's the God of heaven and earth. And that as we trust in what Jesus has done, we receive his kindness. Let us say that prayer together. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, some of us look at our lives. And it's not what they thought we thought they would be. Some of us look at our relationship with God and it feels very dry and desert and parched. And so, Lord, we come. And we come today. And we see these stories, these testimonies of these three men who have had their wanderings. But they have prayed the prayer of Rahab. And so today I hear the voice of Jesus. I hear that his blood was shed so that I could be free. So that my past did not have to define my tomorrow nor my today. And I could live in blessing. And so today I say the prayer of Rahab. Heavenly Father. You are the Lord of heaven and earth. You are the one true living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I accept what Jesus did on the cross as my way to live under the kindness and blessing and mercy of this God. I trust in Jesus' death and resurrection and welcoming him into my life. And I choose today to turn from sin, from what I know to be wrong, to turn from evil. And I intend to follow Christ.
and to live in the land of his blessing, of his kindness, and of his provision. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. That is the prayer of Rahab. That is the prayer of faith. And if you've prayed that, did you notice? That's the prayer of baptism. That's the confession. That's the prayer that these three men made. And they were then baptized, that they may live a new life under the blessing of God. If you've prayed that prayer and haven't been baptized, perhaps you should be. No, perhaps you need to be, that you may experience the fullness of God's Spirit. If you want to be, talk to someone, talk to me, talk to one of the other church leaders. But if you've heard that voice today, if your heart's been challenged today, I'll do it today. I'll do it now. Paul, when did you let me know you were going to be baptized? Was it Thursday? Thursday! Quite short notice. How about you? Can I give you a challenge? It could be quicker than that. Do it now. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them. Let's stand together as we sing. This is amazing grace that saves someone like Rahab, that saves someone like Gary, that saves someone like Steve, that saves someone like Paul, that saves someone like me, that saves someone like you.